Blog Talk Radio.
Hold it now.
America airs on Tuesday evening from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Also, Black Herb America is presented by We Talk Productions. We Talk Productions also present Provocative Thoughts on Saturdays from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. And also, We Talk Productions has a program for people that are self-employed or have their own businesses or entrepreneurs. I would like to do a marketing partnership with you where we can expose your service and products throughout America and the rest of the world. Hey, how about that game two nights ago? LeBron is back into the championship. I don't know how he did it. We have to take a DNA test of him and see if he's human. I mean, I know he have teammates, but like a commentator said earlier on the Spark Talk show, and this is the first time I've talked sports on the air. You know, would Draymond Green would trade his teammates for LeBron teammates? I mean, it is the matter of fact, but this man also do activities in his community. I mean, he brings like close to $100 million to the city of Cleveland. So we got to give a hand clap for this man, because he's a good Black man, you know. But tonight's guest, talk about achieving a goal for a championship. Tonight's guest, okay, Tonight, guests will be talking about setting and achieving your goals. And we have Mr. Dwayne Shigg on the line. How are you, Dwayne?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Brother Kenny?
All right. I'm here. And also, I would like to tell the audience that this man is an author and also a motivation speaker, right, sir?
Correct. Thank you.
Okay. So we have this privilege to hear what he has to say. So achieving your goals, what is this all entail, sir?
Well, one of the things I do, I make sure when I talk to people, I write in my books and different things of that nature, helping people understand that what they're understanding their what and their why, what it is that you have to do, what it is that you're supposed to do, what it is that is your passion. Your passion is that thing that you can't help but do. Your passion is that thing that you think about and dream about. Your passion is that thing that you get upset when it's done wrong. And so what is your passion? And then helping them marry their passion to their gift. What is, you know, what you have to do? What is it that you can do? And how do you use that for your gift and for your passion and achieving your goals?
Well, first of all, why should we have goals?
Well, the goals that we have keep us from just existing. Without goals, you're just here. And then if you don't have goals, but you do have a burning passion of what you're supposed to do, you don't know how to accomplish them. And then again, you, as I said, you're just existing without having goals. You won't be accomplishing things. You won't see productivity. You won't see success. And not only that, the gifts and talents and things that are in us are not just for us. And so if we don't set goals, accomplish goals, we could be depriving society, the world, our community, our family from the benefits of our goals. If you didn't have this radio show, many people would be deprived of the benefits of having productive conversation. Your conversation last week when you were talking about different things about women and for women. If you didn't have that goal, if you didn't set that goal to have the show, that information would have been deprived, and the people that benefited from it would not have gotten it.
Right, right. Well, let me ask this. Are there different types of goals? Because you mentioned yourself, community, the world. So are there family? Are there different types of goals?
Yeah, there are a variety of types of goals, but oftentimes the goal is connected to your purpose, your passion. You can have 5-year goals. You can have 2-month goals. You can have a goal for the week, a goal for the day. I spoke this morning. I have a Tuesday morning video blog that I do. It's called Morning Encouragement, and I talk about your goals, even if it's just for today. Today, my goal for today was to be properly prepared for this interview and to be thankful for you giving me the opportunity. So my goal was to do it well, to do it right, so I don't mess up, so I don't show a lack of appreciation to you. And so the goal is to do well. That's a daily goal. I have some goals for this week that I need to accomplish. And so there are different types of goals in terms of time, but oftentimes most of them are connected some way to your passion and your purpose.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this, Brother Dwayne. Let's say, I'll give you a scenario. Let's say I'm a working man every day. I have a particular skill, and I'm tired of working for somebody else. I want to be an entrepreneur. I want my own thing. I come home, sit on the couch every day and try to think, how can I get into the entrepreneurship world? You know, so I'm just an average Joe, as they say. I'm just an average right. Joe. So how can I, but this is my dream. I want to work for myself. What is step one and step two and so forth?
Step one, determine, decide your what. What is it? Okay, you want to be an entrepreneur. You want to work for yourself. What is it that you want to do? You want to bake cakes. You want to help people get their credit better. You want to sing. You want to. So you have to decide on the what or accept the what. And I say accept because your gifts, your passion will be the thing that will help you get to that. Even if it's just you're in a chauffeur's business, but your passion is to help people. You can help people through that, help people have comforting rides, help people as you take them through their ride to their destination, talk to them, encourage them. And so you got to discover what it is that you want to do, you're going to do. And then your why. After you discover the what, the why. And the why do you want to do that? Do you want to do it just to make money? It has to be bigger than that because, you know, if you don't make enough money this week, does that mean you quit? So your why has to be something that makes you get up and makes you write and makes you get this radio show together, get the guests, reach out to the guests. The why is going to be what pushes you. So why do you want to be an entrepreneur? So I can make a difference in my life, so I can do my own thing, so I can help my family, so I can leave a legacy to my children. So you have to discover your why. And that's important because that's going to keep you going. That's going to help you during the rough times. And because you have a dream, that doesn't mean life stops. Life happens even though you have a goal. About a year and a half ago, 3-4 months between July and September were the worst 3 months, were three bad months for me. My stepfather died on my anniversary, my wedding anniversary. 2 weeks later, my little brother died. 3 weeks later, one of my favorite aunts died. So in all that time, I still had goals and dreams, but life still happens. But when you have your why, when the why is big enough, it'll get you through. You'll cry, wipe your face, blow your nose, and then go on to the next part of your dream. So that's what, and then the how. So it's what, why, and then the how. And sometimes people get things out of place because they don't know the how, they will stop dreaming. You don't have to worry about the how. You get the what and the why, and then the how will come.
And that's doing research. And a lot of people I guess, don't have the energy to put forth the research. They might have the what. They might have the why. But the research or how to accomplish something comes difficulty for some people. And I guess with something is trial and error.
Some things are trial and error. You learn by your mess up. I call them, you have to find a way to turn your oops into an opportunity, or what I like to call it an oops-a-tunity. Mm-hmm. So there are going to be oops. There are going to be things to mess up, but okay, that doesn't mean you stop. I read a story about two brothers a long time ago named Will and John, and they were boiling some grain, and then they left it on too long, and it became hard and crusty, and it wasn't what they wanted. But those two brothers, their names were John and Will Kellogg, as in Kellogg's Cornflakes. So Kellogg's Cornflakes came about because of an oops. And so trial and error, but you still go forward. You're going to make some mistakes, but the only people that don't make mistakes are people that don't do anything. And then a big oops of Steve Harvey's situation with the Miss Universe a couple years ago. Oops.
Right.
But he turned that oops into an oops-a-tunity. First of all, he had an opportunity to show some integrity. They said, they told him, okay, we'll fix it tomorrow. He said, no, I have to do this now, showing some integrity. And you know as well as I do, in that industry, there's not a whole lot of integrity a lot of times. So
right.
He had the opportunity to show integrity. He had the opportunity to honor his father, because I heard an interview with him, and he said he heard his father's voice in his ear, you have to take responsibility. So he also had an opportunity to make some money. He had a Super Bowl commercial a few months later. So out of the opportunity, out of the oops, he made some money. He didn't sit back and say, oh, look what I did. But he took advantage of the opportunity. And that's what we have to do. Trial and error. Things are going to mess up. But what did
and
he learn
laughed
from
at,
that?
And he laughed at himself, too. He laughed at
himself.
He laughed at himself. You know, yeah.
He laughed at
himself. Everybody thinks I'm the smartest guy in the world, but I make mistakes, too. Even on my show.
Right. We make mistakes. But we have to learn from it. And what can we do now? I read a story about Thomas Edison. He was working on one of his inventions. I think it was the turntable or the light bulb. And he tried thing after thing. He had try after try. And he had 500 tries, and none of them worked. And someone said to him, don't you feel like a failure? He said, no, now I know 500 things that don't work. So it's all how you look at it. It's
yeah.
in how you look at it. So the trial and error, that's going to happen. That's why you have to have the big enough why to keep you going. And as you said, it's going to take research. It's going to take work. The goal, the dream is not going to come out of the sky. It's not going to come just because you pray. It's not going to come just because of who your mama is. You got to do the work.
Yeah. Well, okay. Now let's move from the individual to the family. Why?
Okay.
What type of goals should, and when I say we, I'm talking about African Americans. When it
right.
comes to our families, what type of goals should we try to establish?
As a family, you need to have goals corporately. Okay, this family, we're going to finish school. We're going to be respectful and responsible people. We're going to whatever the corporate goal is. But in that corporate goal, as the Jones family, the Shig family, the Johnson family, or whatever the family is, those go in that corporate goals, there's going to be some individual goals. You know, Johnny is going to be good at numbers. Sarah is good at putting things together. Bobby is good at something else. So part of the goal is to strengthen each individual in the family in their giftingness. For people who are Bible people, there's a scripture that says, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he's right. old, he won't depart from it. What that scripture actually means, I say we because I'm a Christian. Oftentimes Christians use that scripture wrong. In the original language, that scripture says, train up a child in the way he should go. The words, the way he should go is a word in Hebrew, I believe. It means the way his natural bent is. So the way the things that are naturally in him, my little brother, the one I told you that passed away, he liked taking stuff apart and putting things together. That was his natural bent to do things. So with the family, we want to find out what everyone's natural bent is and help them grow in that area. So that should be part of our family goal along with the things corporately, but there should be part of that should be to help each of our children discover their bent and then push them towards that instead of pushing them to what we want them to be. What is their natural bent? Is it painting? Is it the arts? Is it numbers? Is it organization? Find out what they do. Just watch. And then, okay, we're going to send you to MIT. Okay, we're going to send you to trade school because you're good with your hands. We're going to help you, you know, start your business as fixing, you know, repairing things in the neighborhood or whatever the case may be. So those are corporate goals, but in the course of the family goals, there are individuals in the family that have their own passion and purpose.
You know, I talk to a lot of young parents on a daily basis, and it appears from having these different discussions with these different young parents that is missing. it appears that a lot of young parents don't even spend enough time with their children. The video games are raising their children. Other members of the family are raising their children because they're working two jobs, especially if you're a single parent. The parent is the parent has after school program caring for the children. And the only thing they have to do is fix dinner and do the homework to go to bed if they didn't do the homework yet. So, with all of that, how can a young parent find the natural ability of the child?
Basically, what you do, you just basically watch them and see what they do. What things do they do without you saying so? What is the thing that they gravitate to? Do they gravitate to numbers? I have a nephew that he's real good. He was real good with numbers, and every time we went to the store, he would be with me oftentimes, and when I'd give the lady my money, she'd tell me the bill was $11.62, and I'd give her a $20 bill, and I'd say okay to him. I'd say, what's the change? And if he was correct, I'd let him keep the change. So that, mm-hmm. and he 99% of the time he was correct. And so what that did, that cultivated his gift, that rewarded him for his gift, and it gave an opportunity to see what his gifting was. And so watch them. What are the things that they naturally do? What are the things that they really get excited about in terms of consistency? Not just, because kids, they're excited today and then tomorrow something else. But the thing that they really like, the thing that they really are gifted to do, it will come out. And so observing that, watching that, and then doing all that you can to cultivate, to grow it, to help them grow that.
What should be our goals for the African American communities in this country? I mean, especially in urban areas, a lot of Black communities are disappearing, and the ones that are left, it appears there's no growth in that residential center. So what should be our goals far as a community per se? And according to a lot of people, they say, well, I want to earn enough money and get out the hood. Should that be a goal, just to separate yourself from the hood, or try to establish goals, whether it be social, political, economic? What should be our goals as an African-American community?
Well, we have, as we said earlier in response to your question, first of all, have to have goals, because if not, we will just be existing. So our goals, establish some things. Our goals should be to get established in terms of, what is it that I can do to make a difference? What is it that I can do to strengthen myself so I can strengthen the community? Like when you go on an airplane and they tell you the oxygen mask falls down, put it on yourself first and then help. Because if I'm drowning, I can't help somebody else. If
right.
I can't breathe, I can't help somebody else. So to strengthen myself as an individual, to strengthen myself in whatever aspect it be, mentally, intellectually, educationally, spiritually, strengthen myself. And then what can I do to make a difference? And one of the things that we can do to make a difference is to make known the good things that are happening. Oftentimes, we hear about the negativity. We hear about the children. We hear about the gangbangers. We hear about the people that aren't doing anything. We hear about the fathers that did leave home. We hear about the no good men and the ratchet women. Well, there are a whole bunch of good men. There are a whole bunch of young ladies that are doing the right thing. So, and families that are doing well, and preachers and pastors that are doing well, politicians, just natural guys in the neighborhood. So I think we should always And as it relates to the question, I think we should, one of the things we should do is to make it known that there are good people, there are programs, there are people who have made it. And so we need to make that public. We need to talk about that as much as we talk about the wrong things. And we need to show and be what I call pictures of possibility. There are people who are what I call pictures of possibility. That means I look at them and I see them. They're making something happen. They've gone through school. They're started a business. They had a bad past, but they made it through. There's a chapter in my latest book called "You Can't Alter Your Past, but You Can Author Your Future." And so we need to make sure that people know, yes, you had a bad past. Yes, you went to jail. Yes, you had some mess ups. In that Marvin Gaye song, bad breaks and setbacks, but you can still make it. So as a group of people, we need to make it known that there are some good people. There are some people who are successful in business, in politics. Show them and be a picture of possibility. You yourself, Brother Kenneth, are a picture of possibility for so many people. You're doing what people, so many people want to do. You have a radio show. There are people that, oh man, I wish I could be. I wanted to be in radio ever since I was 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
It's something I've always wanted to do. And there are people that look at you and say, well, he did it, so what about me? And so talking about the people that are doing it. And it may not be radio that they want to do, but they want to do something, but they see you as a picture of possibility. And so I think we need to raise up, shine the light on those that are doing productive things. Shine the light on people that are doing positive things. I know we have to, there is negativity, there are bad people, but I think we have to, we look at those, but we don't live there. And so we let people know that there are people doing great things, and that you talked about, you know, the regular Joe and the single mother. Let them know that they can do it too, that you can make it. And I think sometimes all people need is a push. All they need is an encouragement that they can do it, and then helping them go do it. The title of my latest book is called Go Get It, helping people, you know, to go and get whatever their it is.
So what should be our it?
Well, there's going to be different it's for the individual. One of them is corporately to grow as a person. Again, you can't help anybody if you're not in a certain position. So to grow as a person. So our it is to grow as a person. Our it is to move forward and not continue to live in the past, and not to continue to be complaining all the time. There is a place for complaining, but after that, okay, what are we going to do about it? I know that store down the street doesn't treat our people right. Okay, we're not going to complain about it and write it on Facebook for 6 months. What are we going to do? We're going to stop going? We're going to tell them to hire 3 African Americans? We're going to tell them they have to move. What are we going to do after we complain, after we, get upset, fuss and cuss and be on Facebook? What are we going to do? So our it has to be action. Our it has to be growth, personal growth, because if you're not growing personally, you know, certain things won't make a difference. And so that's corporately our it, and then individually people are going to have a different it to start a business, to write a book, to finish school, whatever the case may be. But then not only to acknowledge the it, but then got to go get it, got to move from where I am to where I need to be.
You know, you said something that is ironic, because if you go back to some of my shows, and to the point of police shootings, especially about police shootings, I say, yeah, you know, we'll get some airtime on the national media for about 2 days. We'll march for about a week thereafter. Talk about complaining. Talk about, okay, we all know the why and what happened, but from these marches and protests, I never hear a platform of solutions. Oh, maybe in one town they might say police training. Okay, that's fine. All right, but how about police perception of African-American males, especially young African-American males? I should say African-American males, because the brother is Staten Island, 55 years old. So it doesn't matter how old you are, but I never hear solutions. So how do you get a group to start thinking about what you call action? And then, I mean, yeah, the action, a protest, and then the voice died down. We don't hear anything else until the next shooting, you know, as an example. So how would you move a group towards action instead of complaining about it?
We have to move to the point, okay, what can we do, knowing what can be done? So moving a group, knowing what can be done. Can you stop people from being racist? No, you can't stop people from being racist. There's a quote by Martin Luther King that says, the law can't make a man love me, but it can stop him from lynching me. So
right.
We have to understand what we can do. Can we stop people from being racist? No, we can't stop people from being racist. But what can I do to minimize my being a victim? Know what my rights are. You can Google that and act on my rights. See, you can say the right thing the wrong way. I know my rights. I don't have to talk to you. Is that the right way to say it?
And do you think Colin Kaepernick, that what happened to Colin Kaepernick, he didn't really put any thought to it. He just reacted to a situation and it got blown out of proportion and people thought the wrong way. They opened the door for the president to say something, and then, at one time, you know, with just two or three of them, and then it's the whole league. Do you think that's what happened to Colin Kaepernick? It really wasn't a plan. It really wasn't anything thought of.
Well, he probably thought about what he wanted to do and the focus that he was doing, and see. That's why I said we have to make known the good, because the narrative got switched on that in terms of what the protest was about. But there are so many people that are talking about the real reason for it. He used his platform to do what he thought was a good thing. And so that's part of the action step, using our platform. We can get a group, but even if we can't get a group, I can stop going to that store, and then when people say, why don't you go down to the corner market? I'm not going down there because they don't treat people right. And then you get five more people, and then you get 10 more people. So a group is just a collection of people. While you may not be able to move a group that's as big as, you know, maybe Million Man March or some other things that we think are need to be real large, but I can move the people in my house. I can move, I can say something to the people at, you know, on my block or at my church or different things of that nature, and it can make a difference in that local community, but it won't make a difference if I don't have a plan. It won't make a difference if I haven't grown, okay? So now we've got people treating people right at the store. What are we going to do now? We're going to go to the store. We're going to buy the store. We're going to start our own business. And so that's where goals come in and action come in, and also letting people know what can happen, helping people to understand that it is possible for you to make a difference. It is possible for you to do different. And sometimes people think the only thing they can do is what has already been done. But you can do something different. You don't have to stay the same. If you want to write that book, you can go on and do it. There's nobody in your family that wrote a book. There's nobody in your family that graduated. There's nobody in your family. Nobody on your street wants to make a difference. But you can do it. In my book called Go Get It, there's a chapter there called When the Dream is Big Enough, the Facts Don't Matter. So right. Sometimes there are things that'll hold you back. But if your dream is big enough, it'll push you through. You'll find a way. You'll find a way to overcome, to get better, to go to school. I saw a post on Facebook a while ago about this young man that was going to his graduation, and because of certain circumstances, his family couldn't get him there. He caught the bus to his graduation. He was determined. He was determined. So, you know, the facts didn't matter. He did what he had to do. And so we can do the same things in terms of individual goals, personal goals, corporate goals. But knowing the why, knowing the what, and then developing the how.
See, that's interesting when you say, well, I can, go to my, to take care of my house, go to my church and pass this information. And let's say there are two other guys that think like you. They go in their area to their homes, to their worship services, and their place or whatever. And what we're going to do, are we going to, what is going to come out of this? Are we going to go to sleep, or are we just going to continue to grow and take this, like, from the block to the city to the county to the state and nationally? Yeah. Well, tell the people about your book.
Well, the book, the latest book, is called Go Get It, Stories and Steps to Seize Success. It's a book filled with original encouragement quotes. I have several quotes that I have in the book. One quote says, if you are willing to do what's uncomfortable for a little while, you can live in comfort after a while. Just something to, you know, motivate, push. There's another quote that says, we have to put doubt out so win can come in. And so the book is filled with motivating messages, some of my own stories of falling down, messing up, getting back together. But the focus of the book is to push people to go get it, whatever their it is, to help them understand that they can do it. It can be done. I have a phrase that I like to use that says, if it has been done, it can be done. So if somebody else has done it, you know, you can do it. You can do your it because they've done theirs. And some of the chapters are in the book called Move Stuff Out of the Way. And then one of the chapters is called Things That I Wish Someone Would Have Told Me. Some things that I'm letting people know as it relates to the start of your goal. In my case, writing a book, becoming an encouragement speaker. And so letting you know some of the realities, some of the hurdles, so that you won't get some of the same bumps. Now, you're going to make some mistakes, but, you know, make your own mistakes, because I want to let you know some of the things that have happened and will happen. And then there's a chapter called Developing Your Dream. Dreams don't just happen. They have to be developed to get better. You know, okay, I want to be on the radio. Okay, develop it. Okay, I'll get my guests. Okay, I'll ask these questions. Okay, I see that this didn't go well, so next time I'll do this, or whatever the case may be. That's development. And then there's a chapter in there called Stop Waiting and Start Creating. Sometimes we just want things.
And that's the hardest part.
Yeah, because, see, that's where the change in mindset comes. I'm sitting around waiting for a door to open. I can open the door myself. The song by James Brown, and the line says, I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Open the door, and I'll get it myself. And so, but we have to think like that. We have to think that, yes, I can do this. I can find a way. I can put up a stand and sell lemonade. Everybody keeps asking you to make the cake and the cobbler for the church picnic. Well, maybe I should start selling some of this. I can do this. And so stop waiting for the opportunity. Create the opportunity. All of my books are pretty much self-published. I didn't want to wait for one of the big people to call me and say, okay, would you do this? I just started writing. Made some mistakes in the beginning because I didn't know what I was doing, but I did it. That was the thing. I did it. Okay, I found out this wasn't right. Okay, the next one, I'll do better. Or I'll just regroup or re-edit that one. But stop waiting. Start creating. Do your research, like you said earlier. Find out the information. Talk to people who have done it. In this day and age, you can Google just about anything. And so Google mm-hmm. how to write a book. Google, talk to somebody that's written one. People want to, you know, get some advice, or they just want to hear my take on it. They can email me at drshig@gmail.com, drshig@gmail.com. And, you know, do that. You can get all the advice. You can get all the information. But at some point, you're going to have to jump. You're going to have to write. You're going to – people ask me, you know, how do you write a book? And I tell them, start writing. Mm. And so this book here is to give people the practical side of going after your goals, living your dreams, whatever they might be, radio, book, movie, music, losing 10 pounds, having a better relationship, you know, being the mayor, whatever it is. This book is the push that you can do it, the practical part of how you can do it, and somebody else did it, you can do it too. And sometimes, you know, people think they're too late. And so this book will help you understand that, you know, it may be late for some things. I'm not going to be playing basketball. I'm not going to be singing with the Temptations. That's my favorite
thing. Right.
But I can sing My Girl to my wife in the living room. That's good enough, you know.
Right.
But you can do some things. My aunt has a saying, and again, I have another book I wrote before this. It's called Do Something. You may not be able to do some things, but you can always do something. And when
right.
we think it's too late, it doesn't have to be too late. Again, for Bible people, Moses didn't get started till he was 80 years old. I read that Colonel Sanders didn't get started until he was 60 years old. I graduated high school 100 years ago in 1977. I didn't get my first degree, a bachelor's degree, until 2000, somewhat 20, 30 years later, because, you know, life happens. But then
right.
I got a doctorate degree at 52 years old. For some people, that's, you know, ancient. That's a long time, but it's not too late. You can still do some things. And so the focus of the book is to help them understand that you can do it. Go after it. It takes action. And so I do that through the books, through speaking, through, you know, my videos on YouTube and on my Facebook page. And so just to help people in all those
why?
Areas that you
why,
talked
why,
about, personally, individually.
Well, Brother Wayne, I'm going to ask you this. Why did you want to specifically write books about to assist people in their lives? Why?
Because I understand what it is to not feel worthy. I understand what it is to think you can't do it. My passion is to encourage people, to help people. I grew up with low self-esteem, insecurity issues. Back when I grew up, you know, people made fun of you if you were dark. And I'm brown-skinned, but, you know, at 8 years old, I thought it was, you know, a negative thing.
Right.
Because I was darker than some other people, and they made fun of me. So I had all those issues, and so I know what it is to feel that way. And so coming out of that, you know, I'm somewhat of an introvert, not as much as I used to be, but coming out of that, I understand what it is to need a push. Two people helped change my life. James Brown changed my life when he said, "Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud."
Black and proud, 1968.
Now, I was 9 years old, so you can imagine what that song
yeah.
did for a nine-year-old boy that didn't like himself. And so
and
that
people
part
don't
helped.
Understand. And people don't understand the time when you turned on the TV. It was back in those days. It was one TV in the house. When you turned on
right.
the TV, it was the Partridge Family, the Brady Bunch. They all living nice homes, driving automobiles, kids going to school. They have nice positions. It was those type of shows. It really wasn't shows or positive images of black folks on TV. And some
exactly.
days, you know, and some days you question, like, wow, you know, like, damn, I wish I was in that other culture. You know, and my father heard me say something like this. He said, "Man, be glad that you are black." And a week or two later, James Brown came out, "Say it loud, I'm black and proud."
And see, that song,
Black
song,
Panthers. They were the Black Panthers and the
that
nation.
Song it helped change my mentality. And then as I grew, a minister by the name of Buster Soros came to the church where I was, and he preached a sermon called A Samsonite Made to Be Different. There used to be a luggage company called Samsonite. They made briefcase. And then they had a commercial where they threw a briefcase in the cage with a gorilla, and he threw it all around. And then this minister, he took that, you know, that example, and then talked about Samson in the Bible and said, Samsonite made to be different. So that helped me understand that I'm a Samsonite. I'm made to be different, even with all of the different things going on. And so I understand what it is to be that way, and I want to help people who had low self-esteem or still do, people who feel less than, people who don't think they can. When I was in what they called the junior high school back then, they call it middle school, 12, 13, 14, still having some of these feelings. And then I was taken out of my regular classes and put in what we would call the dumb classes. So you can imagine what that would do to a 12-year-old who already has low self-esteem. And so I'm thankful for my parents who didn't just go for that. I'm glad my mother handled it and not my father, because he wouldn't have handled it in a very diplomatic way. But my mother, she called the superintendent of LA Unified. She called the superintendent of LA Unified, and I was back in my class the next day, my regular classes. And all through my life, I wondered, how did she get the number of the superintendent? And I figured the fact that she worked for the Department of Defense probably didn't hurt at all. But I got put back in my class. And again, to go to your original question, I know what it's like to have people look over you. I know what it's like to want to be so bad, but don't feel that you can. And so that's why my books are geared to help people know that you can do it, and not just give them rah-rah. You know, a lot of times people get books or they go to seminars and it's just excitement, but never tell you the how-to or the practicality of it. And so that's why I write practical books. That's why I write books to help people know, yes, you can do it. I don't care where you came from, where you're going. I don't care what has happened to you, what can happen to you. And that has been what's in me for most of my life. There was a particular day when, you know, I look back on it and I know this is what I'm supposed to do. There was a young lady at the school I went to. I went to Dorsey High School in Los Angeles, and she had just broken up with her boyfriend. And, you know, when you're 16 years old, that's the end of the world. My brother Kenny, his name is Kenneth Johnson. Your name is Kenny Jones, my longtime friend. I call him my brother. He went and found me. It's a young lady that both of us knew. He went to the campus where our regular hangout was and found me for the sole purpose of going to cheer this girl up. And so that's my goal, my purpose. That's my passion. That's why I'm here, to tell people you can make it. It's what I do. I'm a minister also, so I tell people about the love of Jesus. You can make it that way. But in a practical way, with your goals, with your vision, you can make it there. So that's why, it's because I have to do it. I know what it's like to need that. So I want to make sure people that need it get it.
Hey, you want to know something? We'll have time to go down this path, but our educational system is doing a disservice to our Black boys. They're not taking the time to assess their strengths, to assess their interests, and as an end result, our boys are winding up in special education classes. They don't belong there. Our boys wind up on the corners or in certain groups that they don't belong. And if a teacher or a principal or a teacher assistant, this could take 5 minutes a day to encourage this child, this young man, that he has a gift, that he has to find, so he can make it out in the world. But all they're doing is just throwing out young boys in prison. I mean, there's so many talented brothers in prison. So too many of them to be exact. So much talent in there. But because of the fundamentals were not accessible to them, that's the end result. But maybe 50% could come out of that lion's cage or that the belly of the beast and turn themselves around. You know, there's a lot of people that did wrong or went away and came home and made stuff themselves. Or a lot of ex-addicts, whatever. Because something that you said earlier, we don't care about your past. What you need to do is care about where you're going to go. And I think that, but it all starts back fundamentally back in our education system when we talk about individuals that have low self-esteem. And see, it appears that if there's no one to try to assist you with the low self-esteem or you really don't know anything about what you want to do in your future, that we have another lost person.
And that's why it's so important for shows like yours that talk about different things. It's so important for people to shed light on the people, the places, the things that will help people know that you can do this. So, you know, let them know that there's a video that they can watch that will encourage them. Somebody at the school, somebody at the church, Mr. Johnson down the street, the parent in the house, somebody saying, yes, you can. You watch them. We talked about this earlier. Watch them. What is their bent? And push them that way and make it known that there are people that will help. There are people that will give you a push. There are people that you can look at that says, you can make it, or, you know, you can find a way within your own family or situation. Like I was telling you about my nephew, the game we would play, you know, about going to the store, how much is a change, that brought out his gift, that gave him an opportunity to use his gift, and it rewarded him for the gift. And so the people that are doing that, keep doing it. We need to make it known that there are people doing that. And then those individuals that, you know, may not be, talk to your kids, talk to your nephew, say, oh, man, you did that pretty good. Can you draw a picture of me for that? Or whatever the case may be, let them know about people that are doing things. There's a young man here where I live. His name is Terry Roten, and he has a partner named Benny Cool. These young men, you know, were in the fast lane, been in jail. But right now they own their own publishing company. They're authors. They have their own clothing line, a record label. And this guy is only 33 years old, and he spent at least 15 years of his life in jail. But he's a person that lets you know it can be done. His name is Terry Roten, No Breaks Publishing. You can go to Facebook and look up Terry Roten or Benny Cool or No Breaks. But that's an example that can be shown to the young men that you're talking about so they won't fall victim to the system. Because the system is there. We have to be anti-system. We have to let them know that you can do this. Okay, watch this video. There's not no whole lot of bumping and grinding and naked girls in it, but watch this video, and it'll help you change your mindset. It'll help you see that you can do it. And many of the people that are writers for Terry, they have urban fiction. So a lot of their stories are about street life, their stories about different things, but they're writing,
right.
And somebody's reading them. And so that's their out, or it may be a song, or maybe a clothing line. They have all of that. And so we have to shed the light on people who are doing. We have to take a step and, you know, you see a young man in the neighborhood, you say, man, what do you want to do? Or, he's making clothes. He's shining shoes. He's making designs. There's a young man who's he used to go to our church. He's in Winston-Salem, a college right now. He designs tennis shoes. He'll put any design on your tennis shoes that you want. He designs them. He put, you know, if you have a logo or something like that, he does that. That's his gift, his talent. And so Dontrell Slack is his name. And so all of those things, but the educational system that you talked about, we can change it, you know, become a teacher or be part of the school board, or also you can change it from within. Okay, you're going to read for 30 minutes today. Turn off the TV, turn off the radio, you're going to read. You can read anything you want or create a story. But we have to find a way to showcase their gifts. They're it, so they can go get it. They can't go get it if they haven't identified their it. So we can help them identify their it and then help them through books, through videos, through conversations, through whatever programs to go get their it. And everybody can do that.
Yeah, Brother DeWay, I really, really appreciate this conversation, and I hope that we could continue, myself and you, to share these ideas. If I have any questions, I could give you a call and reach sure. out to you. I'm really appreciative of you, sir, coming on my show. And believe me, thousands and thousands of people download this show. So it's going to be some enlightenment, and I thank you for coming on the show.
I appreciate it. If I can give a quick information in terms of how to get the book,
go ahead.
You can go to Amazon.com, and in the search engine, put in Go Get It and my name, Dwayne Shigg, DwayneShigg. You want to see some of my videos, you can go to YouTube under Encouragement or under my name, Dwayne Shigg. You can follow me on Facebook. I have some encouragement posts that I do 3 times a week and a video on Tuesday and a real quick video on Saturday. And so you can do that. You can get a copy of, you know, when you go to Amazon.com, you put in Go Get It and my name, or you can put in my name. You will see this book and some of my other books. And so I appreciate it. You know, these books can make a great gift, can help somebody. Again, along with the videos, help you change your mindset to understand your it. And Brother Kenneth, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity. And so you can follow me on Facebook under my name, Dwayne Shigg. You can hit me up on my email, drshigg@gmail.com. That's D like Dwayne, R like Robert, Sam, Harold, Ida, George at gmail.com. Or just hit me up on Facebook. And again, my grandfather says, people don't have to be nice. But when they are, you ought to say thank you. So, Brother Kenneth, I say thank you to you.
Yeah, you're welcome, sir. And thank you. And have
a good
week.
Not a problem, everybody. Have a good week. Be encouraged.
I will be in touch.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Wow, that was some very, very important information. And as you download those shows, and as you listening, and I want you to hear was it the passion in his voice, and which is like right to his soul. So yeah, I mean, like this brother here is really, you talk about what can you do for your people, he is doing it. He's a preacher, author, a speaker. It's all about being godlike, man. That's beautiful. Well, another week has surpassed, as always. I am because we are. We are because I am. Everyone, have a positive week.
Hold it now!